Understanding your faith can achieve 6 more inches. At the exist for a while. We have a lot of hope, since it's too short of unsearchable riches. I wonder what revivals have been had in the past decade, because I need to live just 6 more inches. I wonder how many churches are still in lumber yards and building suppliers not tonight, simply because the will and labor through the arch was passed a revival for 6 inches more. I wonder how many souls rise in hell tonight because love stopped just 6 inches short.
others turn their possibility teeth, because there's always glory for those who will go on. Help us to rise above the lowest of gifts, and arrive and see how the most impossible circumstances may have come through the most awful storms and stresses of life. They are blood spattered and scarred as they have fought through the battle of building a temple of the soul. But all that they have is one same self-thing that burns in their spirit, is that nothing matters to the spirit that will go on. Nothing matters to the man. so he stands and he takes in the glory. And wonders who shall separate me from the love of God. Why is there that life cut my way, that life shut me off from my purpose, my call, my reason for existence, the whole purpose I was saved, the whole purpose I was separated out, and he anointed and called? Is there something that might turn me aside from that? He said, would tribulation do it? The word tribulation there is the word connotation called pressure. You know, when two saints meet and there's a moral failure on the staff, you know, real pressure. Job looks at us, not promised anywhere across the centuries, but he looks at us with pain hearts and some of the things that we complain about. Job was not a mythical, fictional character out of the fantasy of some fictional writer. He was a real man with a real heart that loved real deep, who loved his kids, and who in righteousness built brick by brick the empire over which he oversaw and was satisfied. And in one day's time, God completely leveled the landscape of Job's life without so much as an explanation. You're talking about pressure to prove God in God. You're talking about pressure to take a small boat to China. But in the face of it all, Job sat on the dumbbell, strengthening his sores, and kept all to a soul. He was hoping, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. And I wonder if distress would do it. Bear the prophet than the apostle in the narrowest of room. Is there some corner I can be back in? Is there some place that God can show me? Or that life can move me up into where all my options were gone? Where there were no options left to me. I was crowded in the corner and there would be no way out for me. Would it be at that place that I would separate? Paul said, no, I'm still going home. I'm still going home. He talked about famine, which is utter hunger. Nakedness, which was absolute, not bad or rags. But the whole shameful, embarrassing exposure of not having one part of his body covered. He was talking about if I was made that destitute, but that currently, aside from the purposes for which God has called me. No, not peril, not sword. Understand, the sword that he did here was not the sword of conquest. It was not the sword of battle. It was the judicial sword that ultimately did get off his head. I wonder tonight if some civil sword could somehow separate you from the calling of God. I wonder if some ecclesiastical court can make a judicial judgment about you that would separate you out, that would turn you aside from the purposes of God. Paul said, I don't care about any of those things. In the face of them all, I'm saying, I'm still going home. He said, it's not our goals we're killed all the day long to work out in the sheep. The word is very smaller, but it means butcher. It means more than just being having your throat cut and watching the blood pool. It means they come with knives and they take your hide off. And then they begin to segment you. A lamb shop goes here, a loaf goes there, a lamb goes there. You ever felt like, preacher, that you were just being butchered? That somebody was taking this part of your life. The blood was gushing out of you. Nobody seemed to know what you were bearing in burden and feeling responsibility. But somebody poured out this lamb shop. Just something to feed their hunger. Just something to satiate their need. And you felt like they just being butchered. But they're just drinking pounds of meat at a time while you slowly see your heart fill away from you by a generation that doesn't appreciate and understand your burden. But Paul said all of that, I am not going to let people, I am not going to let the poor people turn me from the purposes of the cross. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. He said, I am persuaded that these are tests. You cannot intimidate a man whose word is not afraid to die. If you've ever come to the altar and you've got on his altar and died, men cannot intimidate you anymore. There's not enough political pressure. There's not enough pressure of the way an organization or the way the winds of men are going. Praise God, I don't want to be a Caleb. I don't ever want to have to sit in the back of a congregation and find how the wind is blowing. I want to sit up front and say, how can any man with God in his side? Which is a grasshopper in anybody's sight, which is like this world for you. the world. And so for just the thrill of one race conquest, the thrill of maybe one unknown empire somewhere in the east that had never been heard of, he turned his armies and headed east in search of this one last conquest. And as the men traveled for months, weary, but very loyal to his military genius, they came to a place his scouts returned from about 2 weeks ahead of his. All this was Alexander the Great's method of moving his troops, of sending scouts foraging a couple weeks ahead, both for food and provender for the animals and water, and searching out terrains and the best paths to take to keep his men refreshed. So the men came back and they met with his generals, and there was quite a little conversation and military powwow. Men were sent out that were excellent in reading the maps and understanding terrain, and they were sent with these scouts, and they returned several days later. And then they all met together in the tent of the great general, and they began to debate and argue of this situation they found themselves in. And they were taking the map and turning it one way and another, trying to understand what the problem was. And after hours of arguing and debating and deliberating of what was going on, finally the general stood and he said, "Gentlemen, there is only one explanation for where we find ourselves today. It is obvious that the mountains that you have discovered are not on our maps." He said, "Gentlemen, we have marched off the map." Just beyond them where all the mountains have been charted. Just beyond where all the rivers have been carefully laid out. The scouts of Alexander the Great had marched off the maps of Asia Minor and discovered the Himalayan mountains. I'm here to tell the cause of the times tonight. I have felt this in the Holy Ghost. This has been burning in my spirit for months. It's that we have come to that place where we have been many, many, many times before. Where this movement has stood, just as Israel stood on the border of Morocco. We stand at the threshold of mountains that we have never seen the tops of yet. Whose glory shines in the midst of the spirit that we have never climbed yet. But we have been here before. The timidity and the fear has turned us back from that part you understood. But the minute saying, God, to get you a step, we all have to know that. The minute saying, God, the Lord, you have your timidity and fear. I am so wrapped around you. I repent in the name of Jesus. I come to thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are not going into charismatic. No, we are not going to throw away and trample on the beautiful harvest of holiness. We don't have to do it. We're not going to compromise truth, but in the praise of our purpose. And we're going to make you come on. And we're going to go on. I am worthy. Just we are worthy. Turn all the other mariners back. Go on the whole new world. Where would we be tonight if you'd allow His Spirit to me to turn Him back? And I'm telling you, in a realm that's natural, that a nation has been built that is stupendous beyond the comprehension and understanding of His strength. You take that by one week, projected in the Spirit, and I believe with all my heart, it's where the Holy Ghost is trying to take us. You see, we'll close with this. You see, here's where we are. My great-grandfather is a violin maker. I have a family heirloom, and it's the only last remaining violin that we really know that Grandpa made. It was one of the very first ones that he made. You can see some of the crooked work far before the time he mastered the skill in painting, the violin making. His later works were beautiful. His later violins were highly sought after. But I have one of the early violins, and I treasure it. But you see, one may possess a violin, and maybe even an heirloom, and may know nothing of music. What he may possess is nothing but a bit of wood and some strings, because the same instrument in the hand of somebody who knows its music, who understands its secrets, who's familiar with its subtleties, and the worship song. Give all music and beauty and depth out of it. It's a different way.